The vast flat land stretched its marsh and dikes to the horizon. The spirits of the marsh were awakening. Their influence was hovering in the reek and murk of the coming night. The cries of lapwings wailed aloft.
James Blythe in The Smallholder from 1908. A century on, and no description of the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads is complete without mentioning its unique bird life. From the common lapwing to the rarest bittern, Broadland is a birdwatcher's paradise. Derek Moore is one of Britain's leading ornithologists. He grew up in Beccles, a popular market town on the Suffolk bank of the River Waveney. But it was on the marshes near Lowestoft that his love of birds began.
Carlton Marshes is really Broadland in miniature, lying at the southern tip of the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads Authority area. This lovely little reserve has just this beautiful mosaic of dike systems, grazing marshes, reed beds, small broads even, dug out probably for the peat years ago. They look like ponds, but they're actually a Broadland system with a typical Broadland flora and fauna. It's just Broadland in miniature. It really is a little gem, and if you don't have time to go to the larger reserves, it's a good place to start. There's a very nice visitor centre run by the Suffolk Wildlife Trust with toilet facilities, a decent car park, a jolly good footpath, including a footpath that you can use with pushchairs for kids or for wheelchairs. And it means a lot to me because I was born just a few miles down the road, and so all my natural history interest started on this fantastic area. It's not just the birds, which I'm really fascinated with, but it's everything else. It's all the little midges and tiny insects that live in the water, some of the plants, things like newts, some of the fish. It's just all round a fantastic place. I wouldn't say that Carlton Marshes is one of the great rarity hotspots of the East Coast, but it's such nice habitat that if you look enough, you're going to find things. A recent coloniser from southern Europe, the Chetty's warbler, was first discovered here in Suffolk, and it's still here. And on any day, you can suddenly hear this explosive song, which every time it sings, you think, did I hear that? Because it lasts only for 2 or 3 seconds, really loud, same quality as a nightingale. But a bird you may not see very well because it skulks, a little brown job that skulks in the undergrowth. This is also a great place for watching owls. Sometimes in winter, short-eared owls will come here and feed out on the marsh and fly around in broad daylight, glaring at you with their big primrose eyes. But the owl that you most see here is a barn owl, a bird that's restricted in its range a bit because of modern farming practice, but is making something of a comeback. This is a good place to see them. Late afternoons, they'll be hunting up and down the reed beds, hunting up and down the ditch sides. And there's no better sight, this ghost-like creature, with a great heavy head in front and not much at the rear, but flying so gracefully and so noiselessly around the marshes.
You can reach Carlton Marshes by bus, train or car. And there's more information on the Broads Authority website or by contacting the Suffolk Wildlife Trust. We'll catch up with Derek Moore later in another part of the Broads. A place that he says is equal to any he's visited around the world. I'm now about 10 miles north of Carlton Marshes, close to Great Yarmouth, and a large stretch of mud and water that's another easily accessible place to watch birds at any time of year. Jennifer Smart from the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds is our guide.
We're here today on the edge of Braden Water. This is a big tidal estuary right on the edge of Great Yarmouth. We're here at low tide today, so there's a huge expanse of mud in front of us. And we can see lots of evidence on the surface of the mud that there's lots of things in that mud. And that's what makes this such an important place for all the birds that live here.
Now, you say not far from Great Yarmouth. I mean, it really is a stone's throw from the town. And this area is, if you like, the confluence of several rivers as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is right on the edge of the Broads here. There are three major rivers that drain out of the Broads. The Yare, the Bure and the Waveney all drain into this estuary here.
And a magnet for birds here who come presumably throughout the year.
Yes, it's a great place throughout the year. Obviously, in winter, you've got all the migratory species that come here from other countries and spend the autumn and the winter here. But during the summer, there are many birds breeding here, lots of terns. And throughout spring and autumn, there are lots of birds use this area as they pass through on their way to and from their wintering and their breeding grounds.
Right, we've just come onto the bank. What can we see out here today then, Jen?
Yeah, let's have a quick look and see what's out there today. So I can see lots of redshank, first of all. They're a wading bird species. They're very long legs, ideal for sloshing around in this mud. And their name, redshank, means red leg. So it's a very good description. The name's a very good description of what this bird actually looks like.
There are thousands of birds out there, though.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, so there's probably 300 or 400 redshank in front of us here, but I can also see lapwing and golden plover. Sometimes we get flocks of up to 30,000 golden plover here at times, which is fairly spectacular when they all take off. Other wading birds like black-tailed godwits, curlews, small ones like dunlin and turnstone. So lots and lots of wading bird species, but also, you know, lots of duck species as well. So it's just a great diversity of bird species. Really, you can come here at any time of the year and there's always something great to see.
You say come here, but is it that simple? Because although we're close to the town, it does have a feeling of remoteness about it as well.
Absolutely. So this is another thing that's great about it. You don't have to come far away to get that feeling of remoteness. But because we're right next to Great Yarmouth, and literally the train station is a stone's throw from the footpath that brings you along the edge of this estuary, people can come here by train. And many local people and people visiting this area, I know, use the train service quite well to link between the local RSPB reserves and also this estuary. You can do a nice circular trip using the trains, which gives you a great walk between the two areas as well.
So you can hop off at individual stations and hop back on further down.
Absolutely, people do that. Yes, they hop off, they do the walk to the next station along all these great places and then get back on the train at the other end and go back to where they came from.
And that's really the best way to do this, is it? On foot, I mean, it has to be.
Yes.
With a rucksack on your back.
Yes.
And a pair of binoculars.
Yes, absolutely. On foot, good pair of walking boots, rucksack on your back, a pair of binoculars so you can look at things and you can have a great walk and see loads of fantastic wildlife and scenery.
Jennifer Smart of the RSPB. You can watch birds in the Broads all year round. Indeed, the winter months are often the best. Derek Moore's favourite place is as captivating in the middle of December as it is in high summer. It's very close to Hickling Broad, just southeast of Stalham.
We're by Hickling now, just down a lane from Hickling Nature Reserve, which is a Norfolk Wildlife Trust reserve. And we're standing near a place called Stubbs Mill. It was a very convenient little platform been built by the Wildlife Trust for people to stand in the late afternoons, particularly in winter, and see the large assemblages of birds that come into roost in the reed beds and the water meadows and the woodlands that are right out in front of me, ranging for miles, I should say, across to Horsey and then out to the coast. This part of the Broads is one of the best areas and one of the richest for wildlife. You have so many habitats and such large areas of habitat, which is surely the future of our wildlife. And not only just nature reserves here, they're also private landowners have managed the land in a way that is totally sympathetic to the biodiversity. Birds, well, typical reed bed species, good populations of bittern, of bearded tit, of water rails. This is one of the few places in the world I've ever seen water rail chicks out in the open, these beautiful little black fluffy animals. It's also a place where you can see marsh harriers and in the winter hen harriers, and of course it's the place where you see cranes. They've been here a number of years, quite a small population, but gradually building up to around 30 birds. And of course they're very vocal, and in the spring they dance, these wonderful jumping dancers with this amazing cacophony of bugling calls, and they nest in the reeds and the boggy fenland areas of this beautiful place. And each evening they come into roost. So if you stand on this platform, not only do you see hunting barn owls and marsh harriers and other raptors, but you also see thousands of pink-footed geese in the winter coming down from Iceland to winter here. But you also see the cranes coming into roost as well, which is truly spectacular. You know, I've birded all around the world, on every continent, but this area of Norfolk is still one of the most fantastic. Is equal to any rainforest, equal to any big tropical wetland. It really is a very stirring thing to come and see.
Derek Moore OBE, and that's it for this podcast. But don't forget you can find out much more information about activities in the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads on the Broads Authority or Visit Norfolk websites.